Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. My name's Lance Kenmore. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me at any time on my cell phone, direct at 727-8977. I always like to thank John at the station for hosting. John, how are you?
Good.
Good.
The pool is clean and clear.
It is that time of year. In fact, we sold a pool property this week in multiple offer situation, over list price. So some very happy sellers. And I tell you what, you're right on target, McKay. That pool had a lot to do with it. This time of year, people are opening their pools up. I'm glad you brought that up. That's a great subject and intro this week. You get that thing looking nice. In fact, I had my sellers. Before we went out there, I said, the photographer's going to come on Friday. I want you to have all of the pool patio furniture out. I want the umbrellas up, lemonade drinks on the table. And then let's take some pictures of that. And I tell you what, this time of year, it makes a huge, huge difference.
Mm-hmm.
So you got yours up and running? It's good to go?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Have you swam in it yet?
Yes, I have. Well, I pushed my son in. He was leaning over to get a ball out of the pool, and I pushed him, so then he jumped out, and he's a pretty big kid now. He says, come here, Dad, give me a hug, and then he turned and pushed me in.
Nice.
So what are we doing after the show?
Yeah, exactly. That's Mr. Tom Coyne.
You guys are going to go mow your lawn.
Yeah, no doubt. That's Mr. Tom Coyne with Sterling Bank, our in-house lending expert. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, and I want to thank, several listeners have come up to me this last week and said they've heard me on the show and they like the show. So thanks, everyone, for listening and tuning in today.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Good. I'm glad people are getting to know you, and you're doing a great job over there with all of our clients, so we really appreciate that. We always like to start off with our national real estate story, kind of the craziness, how the other side of the tracks lives. So we've got our crazy celebrity story. We've got, and this kind of ties in with our local wine industry here. Rupert Murdoch has just bought, he is actually in contract, it says, on a Bel Air property listed for $29 million. So Bel Air there in Los Angeles. And what is this? Well, it's a large parcel for Los Angeles. It's actually a 13-acre vineyard in Bel Air. I mean, you can imagine what that land is worth. Well, obviously, the listing price was $29 million, so that gives us a good indication. But this house has been owned by Tom and Ruth Jones since 1959, 7,500 square foot home built in 1940 by the famous Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz director Victor Fleming. So really, only one or two times has that property ever turned over. It has its own wine cave that goes with the vineyard, guest house, and 4,400 square foot office building. And if you want to see picturesque California pictures, you can go type in to Google there, Rupert Murdoch Vineyard Purchase. It pops right up. And the pictures are absolutely incredible. Gorgeous, gorgeous property. So funny that they're still in contract with it, but kind of the power of social media and stuff, it hasn't even closed yet. But being kind of the media mogul that he is, some of the information for this article came from following his Twitter account. He posted a tweet about being excited about closing on the property.
Wow.
So kind of crazy to see how that corresponds. Local real estate news, kind of different this week. We did see somebody moving a house down Canal. You might have saw some pictures of it. There was one picture in the Tri-City Herald, but if you go to Tri-City Herald's online photo gallery, there's about 20 pictures of how that house got moved, and it's really incredible to see all the people involved, utility providers raising utility lines, closing down the street, traffic revisions, and then just the overall business of moving a house like that.
Lance, I'm sitting here wondering, what would my underwriters say when they see an appraisal report and says home was moved?
It gets a little interesting. Yeah, you might have to check with underwriting about that. And what I love about working with Tom, and you bring up a great point, is earlier this week I had a question. I had a question about a specific style of house that was not common for the Tri-Cities. It's nice to be able to get that information to you before we even list it. Are we going to have any issues with lending on this? And I love how you just kind of have that inside track right to your underwriters and get it right to them and get us questions back.
And we are still trying to get an answer on that, aren't we?
It is going to be.
I think that's not what it comes across all the time.
It doesn't come across a lot, so we are going to figure it out before we list it, because that's going to affect value. A lot of times people run out, just list these properties, but we're kind of trying to think 10, 15 steps down the road. There might be a big issue if we can't get the financing on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And financing changed. In fact, that's the first question I asked the folks is, when was the last time you got a loan on this property? In this particular case, it was 7 or 8 years ago, and they were giving out loans down on the corner at 7-Eleven 7 or 8 years ago. And so since things have changed a little bit, we're definitely doing a little more research on that one for sure. So, very popular item. It's been coming up a lot more with our clients recently and in this area. In keeping with the theme that we had last week, we talked about buying investment properties, working with tenants, landlords, renting out property. But one of the things we're seeing more of, and keeping with that theme, is actually buying a second vacation home or a second home. And so I wanted to kind of go over a little bit what's involved with that, what's driving that market right now, and how this is coming up. So I'll tell you, I've got a lot of friends here locally, and I'm just going to jump right in with one of the basics. I've got a list here of reasons why people buy second homes. There's actually quite a few folks in Tri-Cities that own second homes in other markets, which then in turn can be viewed when they're gone to that market. You could say they own a second home in Tri-Cities. So we've actually got a pretty big core group of people that is doing that in our market that people don't realize. So I wanted to talk a little bit about why that was, how that's come about, and possibilities of why you want to take advantage of it. And I'll tell you what, one of the biggest reasons that that's come about and one of the advantages of why that's come about, especially here in the Tri-Cities, and I will just say it, November to the 1st of March, and John's laughing over there, okay? Last time I checked, we get a little bit of wind around here. And sometimes we mix that in with some below 30-degree temperatures.
Just a wee bit.
It gets cold.
And so it can get a little cold there. A lot of times, why people consider second homes and second properties is they get to a point when they're going to be retiring. They don't have to be physically in their location for work anymore. So they don't want to deal with those elements. So a lot of folks will go to second home markets for those months when they retire to enjoy that, to have kind of a getaway, a vacation. A very popular market, and a lot of folks, nobody has collected exact statistics on this because it'd be very hard to track. But we have a huge group of people that second home in Tucson, Phoenix, and Yuma from this community. Another thing that has helped that in recent years right now is we have the direct Allegiant flights. So you can get the direct flights to Phoenix now right from Tri-Cities. It makes it very, very convenient. One of the first things I wrote down to why this has happened and why people look at this is long-term profits. All assets will fluctuate in the short term, but vacation properties are more likely to maintain their value and appreciate, mainly because they're located in popular areas that have great things going on, like Phoenix is the dry climate, the weather. A lot of people move down there for health reasons because of that. Well, one of the things that we can see that has happened in the last couple of years is that market has gone down in value drastically until the last year. Now it's started to recover back up about 15%, but lost around 60 to 65% from the height. You can almost look at those trends, pull out the graph and look on that, and you are getting a great deal on property now down there. Another thing that comes up because of that, we were just down there a couple months ago. We were touring model homes, getting ideas for some builders we have here. I specifically went to that market, toured through models. they're starting to build again in those markets. That's usually a good indication that things are starting to turn a little bit as they work through some of their inventory. So potentially right now, because of that, coupled with low interest rates, it makes it more affordable than ever to potentially get a second home.
That's you bring up all good points there. My neighbor, Rosie, she used to have a property in Hawaii, and she's retired. During the winter months, she'd go to Hawaii and spend her winters down there, then come back up here for our great summers we have in Tri-Cities. And because of the properties in Arizona, she actually sold her Hawaii property, and she has a second home now down in Arizona. And I think she paid, she's like $53,000 for a three-bed,
wow,
two-bath, 1,200-square-foot home. And it's great for her. She put her 10% down, and now she lives down in Arizona during the winter months, and she takes those Allegiant flights down there.
Yeah, it really is. And that brings me to another point that I put down, that I wrote down. It is a great way to get a retirement head start. I mean, we love where we work and live and play, and many people have grown up here their entire lives. But to escape some of that winter weather, to have some weekend getaways, a common goal of retirement is to have a place to retreat to in the times of year that you dislike the most. Sometimes buying a home in an area like that ahead of retirement, a lot of times it's easier because you have more income and more steady income, so you can kind of facilitate some of those initial shock of those expenses. The other thing it allows you to do is to start to gain familiarity with a place. A lot of times people say, why would I buy a second home when I could rent or do a timeshare or do something like that? But one of the things that you start to develop is when you stay somewhere for a month or two at a time is, what do you do about your medical care? You know, how do you have relationships? Do you know anybody down there that helps you look out for your house? So by having a second home in a place that you become familiar with, you start to get that sense of, you know, assurance that you know people, you develop relationships in that market, and you can start to identify doctors, dentists, and those other things, services that you'll need in that market. So a retirement head start is a big thing. In fact, I have somebody in one of my local business groups that has done this exact same thing, and actually two people in my local B&I business group have done the same thing, travel to that property, and so they really know that area well. Plus, they're great friends to have.
Well, it's, you know, I
when they have a second home you can use.
You know, I got my little vacation spot in Chula Spokane area.
Yep, same type of thing. So you're kind of getting that head start on that, yeah, where you're able to work and absorb those expenses and build that while you have that income, and at the end of that, it'll be done and ready.
Yeah, the goal is by retirement, it's all paid for, and
comfortable
living.
That's exactly right. So those are some of the keys, the advantages that I wrote down about it. When we come back from the break, Tom, of course, I'm going to ask you the question, and I hope you're ready. How are we going to get the money for these properties? What are our options? We're going to take a look at that. And I'm not just going to paint the rosy picture about it. I'm also going to point out some of the disadvantages and things you might want to think about when you go into that second home market.
And we'll be right back on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been, the last couple weeks, kind of putting a focus on buying some investment properties, buying some second homes. Kind of a little change than we talk about sometimes, so we switched it up a little bit here. A lot of people have been talking about this. I've been hearing a lot of different things, people approaching us with second homes. And so when you start to hear people talking about that again, you know, it kind of indicates to me, you know, things have been a little flat for a while. There might be a little change in the economy going on. You know, we start to hear these things. We talked about March sales being really good in Tri-Cities and kind of get the feeling that maybe things are clicking along at a real good pace and
start, consumer confidence is up.
So we're talking a little bit about that. Before the break, we talked about 5-6 advantages of owning a second home. We have a big community of folks here in the Tri-Cities that do this. And there's a lot of tips that go along with that. But I also, we don't want to paint the entirely, you know, everything is perfect rose-colored glasses picture. There's a couple things you do want to think about with owning a second home. But first of all, how are we going to pay for this, Tom? I know things are different than with a second home than buying a primary residence. As we went through the lending crisis and stuff, you know, I think second home ownership and investment properties, a lot of that took a big hit during that crisis because it makes sense. We've talked about before, if things get tough or you lose your job, are you going to stop making payments on your second home or the one you're currently living in is your primary residence? Well, most people are going to let that second home go. So where are we today? What are our options for purchasing second homes?
Well, Lance, we see people come in quite a bit, and you know, like we talked about, they're either going to purchase a second home because they're going to use it for vacation use, or maybe they're planning on moving to an area and retiring at some point in the future. And like we talked about, they want to start getting a head start and getting that thing paid off now. One thing that's really great about second homes is they have the same second home financing is at the same rates as owner occupied homes. So that's always going to be a big concern for somebody is how am I going to make this extra monthly payment? With rates where they're at, it's definitely going to help the cash flow out, you know, with the historically low rates we're having right now. But, you know, if someone's going to one specific area 4 or 5 times a year and they're staying for maybe 3 days at a time, those hotel bills really start adding up.
Right.
So that's all taken into account when someone's looking to buy a second home. But there's a special set of rules and guidelines we have to follow when financing second homes. Second homes are homes that we consider will be occupied by the borrower at some point throughout the year, and they do not produce income. So they're not being rented out. They're not over on the Oregon coast, and they have some management company letting tenants come in through a weekend or anything. They're not income producing.
That would fall to the investment property guidelines.
Exactly.
Okay, gotcha.
So like I said, they have the same rates as owner-occupied properties. So one thing I have to determine when we're doing second home financing is we have to really make sure it's not going to be an investment property. So investment properties have different rules, higher interest rates. We're required to do our due diligence to ensure that borrowers aren't using this program to acquire additional rental properties. Because then that falls into a whole other set of rules like we talked about last week.
And so we talked about last week, that bumps us up to like 20% down, 25% depending upon credit.
And higher interest rate.
Gotcha.
Higher reserve requirements in the bank.
Okay.
So a whole different set of rules. So there's some basic requirements that second homes must meet in order to get financing. They must be located a reasonable distance away from the borrower's principal residence. Now, rule of thumb I've always used is 50 miles. However, it has to make sense. But so if someone has 5 rental properties in Tri-Cities and they're going to buy a second home vacation spot in Ritzville, maybe that won't make sense.
right. Gotcha.
Because who's going to vacation in Ritzville?
Okay.
And so we might look at that as maybe they're trying to get another investment property.
Gotcha.
It must be occupied by the borrower for some portion of the year. You can only do one unit property, so you couldn't do a duplex.
Because, okay.
Again, a duplex would kind of lead more towards the investment side. It must be suitable for year-round occupancy. The borrower must have exclusive control over the property, meaning that there's not some sort of property manager taking care of it or something.
Gotcha.
It cannot be a rental or timeshare arrangement like we talked about. And let's see. So those are the main rules. But typically, like I said, it has to be 50 miles away from their primary residence and be a true second home. Things we'll look at is this area a typical vacation spot? Does the borrower have maybe some sort of family in that area?
Gotcha.
Do they go camping in that area all the time already? Do they have to travel there for work often? So the underwriter is just going to look at the whole picture and see that it makes sense. And like I was giving you that example, if someone has a lot of rental properties already in their real estate portfolio, they're going to get extra scrutiny.
If it's in that area.
Yeah. They're going to get a little extra scrutiny to someone who doesn't have any rental properties.
Gotcha.
So for purchase loans and no cash out refinances, I actually learned something here, Lance. I always thought it was 20% down for second homes. And I actually found out today that we can go to 90% loan to value on a fixed rate loan.
Well, that's incredible. And that's one of the other things I love about doing this radio show is if I'm going to come talk to everybody in our listening audience every week, I better know what I'm talking about. So, you know, doing that research like that, that's exactly like what you said. In fact, before we came today, I had in my notes as one of the bullet points to talk about as a disadvantage afterwards was high interest rates on these mortgages and high down payments. But you do the research and you come here and tell me that you guys actually have a program for that that is 10% down and has rates very competitively and similar with the primary residence. This is fantastic.
No, it's great. It really is great. You know, for a long time, it was always 20% down because you couldn't get mortgage insurance. So a lot of times, loan guidelines change, and we don't even really hear about it until we run across that situation and we're getting that loan ready to go to underwriting. So unfortunately, that's kind of the way it works, but rules change all the time in the lending industry. And so this was a pleasant surprise to find out we can indeed do a loan with just 10% down on a second home.
Well, that's fantastic. And I'm looking forward to sending you some more clients over for that program then, which is great. So I guess we can check off of my list high-cost mortgages because Tom's already taken care of that. So
I'll take that one off the list
for disadvantages. Another thing I wanted to talk about, which people sometimes underestimate, don't factor into the equations, is initial purchase costs. Yes, you are buying a second home, but generally when you buy it, it is not going to be furnished. So we're talking about a whole nother set of furnishings, everything from cleaning supplies, everything you would need for your primary residence, duplicating again for the second home. So that can get spendy for sure. And that is one thing. Plus, then you have to look into a lot of times when people have these second homes, you've also got to look into, and one of the things people don't think about is unless it is within driving distance, if you are flying there like Phoenix, Arizona, is a second vehicle. If you are flying for those weekends and those trips, purchasing a second vehicle, an economical type vehicle that you can have at those properties, if it is a fly-in property. Many times, like you said, people get second homes that are within driving distance, or if they go for a month at a time, they can take their primary vehicle. But as part of those initial purchase costs, looking into if there needs to be a vehicle cost associated with it is one of the costs that is oftentimes overlooked. Another thing that's different about it, too, and that you really have to factor into and is actually inflexibility. So you're giving up, you know, you're gaining familiarity, but there is a little bit of inflexibility because a lot of times you put this money into the second home. You've paid these maintenance costs. When it comes time to think about vacationing and taking a vacation and going somewhere, a lot of times then you're feeling obligated to go to the second home versus maybe experiencing something new. Now, there are some unique things that have happened in the marketplace the last couple of years that I kind of wanted to touch on here at the end that people have used as solutions or workarounds to some of these problems. There's a huge, huge trend going on in real estate right now, and that is called fractional ownership. It's a little bit different, kind of the same concept as a timeshare, but on a smaller, more intimate level. So fractional ownership. Say you do want to buy a second house in a warm environment like Phoenix or Tucson or Las Vegas, but you don't want, because you're still working or still in your career, you don't want to spend, you know, a month there at a time. You're more likely to spend, you know, one week a month or two weekends out of a month down there. There's a lot of people that are going in and they're taking, like, say, four couples or four families. They're partnering and they're each buying 25% of a second home down there. So you're pooling your resources. You're getting in with less of a down payment. You only have a quarter of the maintenance cost. And then you get rid of some of the problems like inflexibility because the cost is lower. You're not as concerned about always using that property. Now, there are scheduling that comes into play. Maybe you only want to do 50% ownership with one other party. But a lot of times it solves a lot of the problems when you're not using that property to its maximum. If you go into a fractional ownership situation and share those costs. And there's a lot of communities around close by that do that. I know local families that do that in Sun River, and then local families that do that in Suncadia out of Cleome up there that have fractional ownership in houses like that. And they really, really enjoy it. So
No, that's a great idea. It's just a good way to share expenses and alleviate some of that risk and cash flow problems that people could have.
Another thing, too, that came up that kind of falls in line with this, that kind of speaks to the inflexibility issue, that's huge, is access to other vacation homes. What happens a lot of times is now with the internet and what it's done for listings and the availability of listings, there are actually home exchange websites. So say you have a second home in California or near Vineyards, or even, for instance, let's just say Tri-Cities. So kind of up-and-coming tourism. There are websites that you can go to. You can list your vacation home for exchange on there. And many times I read an article about a guy that had a house in Phoenix. Somebody that had a vacation home in the Caribbean wanted to go there for golf and stuff for 2 weeks, and he wanted a beach vacation for his family. No cost. They just exchanged and took each other's vacation homes for that two-week period.
That's a cool idea.
And so you can actually do exchange that way also. These websites also, most people are kind of apprehensive to do it, but there's a lot of folks out there that are doing it with their primary residences as well. They're like, hey, I want to go to another city for a week. Let's put our house up on exchange, see if anybody in that city wants to come here for a week. You actually just switch houses for a week and visit another city. McKay's laughing over there. He's loving it. Crazy, huh, McKay?
That is.
But no, but there's a lot of great success stories when it's set up right. Of folks that do that. I know that personally, my family, we've done this too before where we've gone to these websites. We haven't done the exchange, but we go to hockey camp for our kids up in Canada, a great area called Penticton. So we'll take our kids up there, and many times because we have the kids and the camp and we like to cook, you know, cook for them instead of going out if you're there for a week, a lot of times we'll just take somebody's personal house up there in that city for that time period. They love it. Generally what happens is we go up there, we rent their house, and they go camping for the week.
Yeah.
And so it's a great service with those websites that are out there. The availability of the second home rentals and exchanges on those websites really makes second home ownership, I think, more common and more available to a larger group of people than ever before.
Mm-hmm.
So we have set up some exclusive relationships with people, especially in the Phoenix, Tucson, and Las Vegas markets. I have personal relationships with agents there that we exchange contacts back and forth. If you're looking in any of those markets, give me a call and talk to me. We have agents that do this specifically for those clients. I'd love to set you up with them. We can help you get second homes in those markets. And they're also sending me their clients from those markets here as we're starting to gain notoriety for lower cost of living and our wine tourism and our vineyards. Is they are sending their clients here to our team. We're using that additional pool of buyers to help sell our listings. So it's a great network we've got set up. Tom, I'm excited for you to do the loans for those people in that market. And if there's any questions about any of this, you can contact me on my cell phone at 727-8977. On the finance side, Tom, who do they call?
You can reach me at the office at 783-7300 or on my website at TomCoinHomeLoans.com. Also, Lance, we do financing in several states, so people don't have to go to a new area and be unfamiliar with the lender there. We can finance other states as well as Washington.
All right, fantastic. And, of course, we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.